If you'll stay in the book of Job, and I'm going to be looking this morning at Job 23:10. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, The Golden Test. The Golden Test. Thus saith the Lord, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Before we look at our text, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open it up to us. Father God, we do thank you that we can have this, that we have this wonderful verse that we can look at. And Lord, there's many nuggets in there that we can mind and use in our life. We pray, Holy Spirit, you'd walk amongst us. And again, if there's one listening who knows not Christ, perhaps you'll use this word to open their minds and heart to Christ, that they might come and they might be drawn to him through the preaching of your word. We pray, Lord, for others that you would, again, you would help us to understand it, help us to find an application, and help us to take that home. Don't let us be hearers only, but help us to be doers of the word. Help us to understand what this word means in our life today and tomorrow. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. But he knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but from the time we're old enough to walk and talk, we are subjected to all kinds of tests. Did you know that? Here's a little short list I came up with of tests that we face. Our friendships with other people, they're tested. Our honesty, our loyalty, our love, our commitments, our marriages, and our morals, all of those things are tested, some almost every day. And in addition to that, there are educational tests, aptitude tests, moral tests, aptitude tests, tests for jobs, tests for a driver's license, and eligibility tests. And if that's not enough, and I'm not done, there are also medical tests, mental tests, emotional tests, aptitude tests, and psychological tests. So I guess you get the idea that we were made to be tested. Tested. Even in the spiritual realm, especially in the spiritual realm, God's people are tested. The golden test of our text is given to every single child of God periodically as they sojourn through this world. All of us are going to be tested. The point we need to understand is that any test that we take is there to do what? It's there to help us to know if we're learning the information that we're being given. If you're in school, you get tests or quizzes to find out if you remember what the teacher taught you. In the spiritual realm, life's your test. And the Bible is the answer book. And you're tested to see if you remember the answers in the Bible. The golden test also reveals to a believer something else. It reveals God's love for them. It reveals his deliverance of them. It reveals his power resting on them. And it reveals that they love him more than anything else in the world. That's the whole purpose of testing. Now, it's important to understand that if we're going to look at this testing that we go through every single day of our life, going to do that. Let's go back to the beginning of chapter 23 and we'll see it in Job. Here we find him in the very beginning complaining about his situation. He felt his life was unbearable after losing his health, after losing his family, after losing his business, after losing everything he had. He was listless and he was groaning. And why not? And why not? Didn't Job have a good reason to feel downcast, to feel alone, to feel forsaken? Didn't he have that? He lost everything. Now, a lot of people read that and they say, well, yeah, it probably happened in a day or two. I'm of the opinion it lasted a long time. I'm of the opinion it lasted a month or 3 weeks. And it was every day something else happened, something else broke, and there was nothing good to replace it. In addition to all that he lost on earth, in addition to everything, he also felt he lost contact with God. We know that's true. Look at verses 8 and 9. He said, I go forward, but he is not there. He's referring to God. Backward, and I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. He couldn't find him anywhere in his life. And sometimes when we're being tested by life, by adversity, by illness, whatever it is, sometimes we feel that way. We know God is always there as Christians. We know he's always there, but we don't feel his presence. We feel alone. We feel forsaken. But look, almost in the next breath, he says, but he knows the way that I take. He knows the way that I take. You see, Job is comforting himself with the words, he knows, talking about God. He knows. He consoled himself with the blessed fact that although he couldn't sense God being with him, he couldn't see God, he couldn't feel God, God saw him. God was watching him. And he comforted himself with that thought. The term he knows means God isn't indifferent or unmindful of his people's needs. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in all of your lives. But whatever it is, God knows your needs. He knows the end from the beginning, Wendy. The end from the beginning. He knows that. And he knows what you're going through. He knows how much you can take and how much you can't take. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you but that which is common to man. And with the temptation will come a way of escape. Nobody gets more than they can handle. It may seem it. I've experienced it. I thought I reached a point in my life where there's nothing left. I got no gas, nothing. But God was watching me. I never felt his presence. I didn't know he was there. All I knew was the pain, the suffering. It took over. And that's when you're forsaken. And then after it passes, you realize he was always there. Sort of like that painting in the sand of footprints. There's only one set, and he's carrying you. And that's what he does to all of us. Listen, if the Lord knows every sparrow that falls from the branch of a tree, if he counts every hair that's on your head, he knows the way that I take. He knows it. Job is a perfect biblical example of how we, as New Testament Christians, should deal with adversities in our life. And we're all facing them. Even though Job lost 10 children in one day, even though thousands of his animals, he was in a transportation business, even though all of his animals were stolen, even though hundreds of his servants were killed, even though he had an unbelieving wife, even though Satan took his health away, and even though his three so-called friends tormented him through all of that, Job remained incredibly optimistic. He didn't permit the terrible trials and troubles he was going through. He didn't permit it to overwhelm him. Now, I wonder how many of us can say that. That no matter what's happening in your life, and it may seem overwhelming, but if God, who cannot lie, says that nothing will overtake you, that all things will work together for your good. Shouldn't you be consoled by that as Job was? Shouldn't you take consolation in that? What did he do? He looked at the bright side of the dark cloud. It was A.W. Pink who said that. He said, every dark cloud has a silver lining. And the problem is Christians today are looking at the dark side, not the silver side. And it's so true. But negativity, it's infective and it infects everything in your life. Job saw God's side. He saw that silver lining that was hidden from his senses and his understanding. He had to use his faith. He had to trust in God. And that's exactly what we have to do when we face any type of adversity. We have to have faith. Otherwise, you're no different than somebody who's not saved. You're like a worldling, or you're like somebody that's irreverent to God who doesn't care. You like your God. I don't care about God. Leave me alone. You're just like them. That's what your faith and trust is for, is to help you in those times of adversity. Job looked beyond his present trials, the fiery trials he was in, and he comforted himself by declaring, but he knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. And that verse should bring us great comfort. You know why? Because in essence, our text this morning is the Old Testament version of Romans 8:28. It's the Old Testament versions that all things will work out for our good. And looking at our text this morning, there's three truths in it that I think should encourage all of us as we go through this life being tested. And by the way, I don't know, when you're in school, it seemed to me like every test, my test was worse than everybody else's. It's probably because I knew a little less about it, right? But when you're tested, it seems as if when you're looking at the paper and you're looking at the questions that are being asked of you, all of a sudden things in your mind just don't, you can't remember. And adversity does that to us. And that's why we don't trust and have faith in God enough. We allow the adversities in our life to take control. And what is adversities? What are they applying to? They're applying to our flesh, and our flesh is listening. And when our flesh listens, the spirit side of us is quieted because we're listening to the wrong voice. There's three truths. The first truth is he knows the way that I take. Now, God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. He is the essence of all knowledge. Job 34:21 says, for his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. You've never taken a step God hasn't seen. Whether it was a misstep or not, he's seen every one of them. In Proverbs 15:3 says, it backs that up. It says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good. He sees everything, no matter what it is. Now, how comforting is that to know that the sovereign God knows me, and he knows you, and he knows you, and he knows you, and he knows you. He knows you, and he knows your life intimately. He knows the end from the beginning and every step in that life you're going to take. And there's not one step you're going to ever take that wasn't preordained or permitted. Same thing, really, but permitted for one reason: to bring you to where you are right now. Period. New thought. Because of that, you should be comforted. You should be, I'm ecstatic to know that no matter what happens in my life, what adversity comes into my life, it doesn't matter what it is, he knows the way that I walk. He knows it. And after I'm tested, I will come forth like gold. And so will you, and you, and you. All of you who know Christ will come forth as gold. It's the golden test. That's why it's called that. How do I know that? He knew me before the worlds were formed. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I will draw you. He knew me in my mother's womb. Psalm 139:13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I don't care what people think. I'm telling you that what God says, that every single child that ever come into this earth, come on this earth, was knitted by God personally. He knew, he knows every soul, every step that every human being would ever take. And he knows all about the troubles that Vinny has, that Donna has, that Brian has, that David has. He knows all the troubles and the difficulties and the sorrows of our life. He knows them all. And to counter them, he gives us Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Listen, turn there with me. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. This is so important that you, if you don't have it underlined and highlighted, you should. What a promise. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. Do you understand that? I've called you by your name, Clark. You are mine. You are mine. God bless you. When you pass through the waters, he's talking about deep waters of life, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. It gives the idea of a raging river, and that's adversities in your life. They're like raging rivers. He says, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Do you understand? That somebody is God who's taking care of you because he knows your way. And once you're tested, you shall come through as gold. The word he knows, the way I take, should encourage us because Brian, Mario, Ron, and Job, we don't know our way. We don't know our way. You don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. We don't know our way. We only know where we were. We don't know where we're going. We have an idea, but we don't even know if that's going to happen. No one knows what tomorrow will bring. None of us do. That's why life is so mysterious. And for some people outside of Christ, that's why it's so nerve-wracking. That's why they're so anxious, because they don't know. But as a believing Christian, don't you know what tomorrow brings? The same thing as today. Romans 8:28, that's never going to change. Every day in your life, whatever happens in your life will work out for your good. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's chocolate or if it's fire. It doesn't matter. It will all work out for your good. And what a blessing that is to know. We may have a plan for our life. I had a plan for my life before I was saved. I don't have a plan for my life anymore, except walking in the Word of God. That's all I have is a plan for my life. But before I did, I had a plan, never worked out. Everything I thought was going to happen never happened. And even as a Christian, I never wanted to be a pastor. I thought being a pastor was really a tough job. Who wants that? Got enough problems of your own. Now you deal with everybody else's, plus yours. But it's good. And you know why it's good? Because it helps you grow as a pastor. You just grow. Why? Because you learn what forgiveness is. When you see people who can't forgive, you learn that you shouldn't do that. Why? Because then it grates on you all the time. It's like there's a knife in you and it's always turning because you can't get over it. And when you watch people do that, you say to yourself, Lord, if there's anybody that I've offended, I'm going to go to him and ask him for forgiveness because I don't want that on my mind anymore. That's the whole point of it. So being a pastor turned out to be pretty good in the sense being that now I see things that I could have never seen before. Being negative, I've seen so many people with that, and it taught me not to be negative. There's no benefit. There's no fruit in negativity. None. God has a plan. We don't have a plan, but he has a plan because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. God's providential plan for us is what dictates our destinies. And I have a proof verse for that. Proverbs 16:9. It says, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. It means you can plan on doing what you want to do, but you're walking where he sends you. That's really what it means. So we know very little about the way that we take. Jeremiah 10:23 reminds us, O Lord, I know the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We're not going to direct our own steps. But in one sense, Job did know which way he took. In verses 11 and 12, if you're still in Job, look at the verses 11 and 12. Listen to what he says. He says, my foot was held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. He's talking about what he did with God through all of this that he's going through. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You see, Job chose not to let the great adversity he was going through cause him to lose his grip on his faith in God and in God's promises. He knew him. And even if he wasn't there, even if he couldn't feel his presence, he wasn't going to let him go. That's called perseverance of the saints. That's really what that is. Persevering in your difficulty, but more importantly, persevering in your faith and trust in God that this too will pass and it will work out for my good. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Job chose not to let the great adversities that he was facing loosen his grip. In Job 19:25-27, he writes, for I know that my Redeemer lives. Imagine you use the word Redeemer. And he shall stand at last on the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. That's what he was holding on to, his Redeemer. He knew him. And he wasn't going to let him go. What an excellent lesson that is for us in handling any adversity. It's a wonderful lesson. It teaches us that if we hold on to God and our faith and the Word of God, and we use that to get through whatever it is we're going through, we'll get through it. We'll bleed a little, perhaps. We'll shed many tears, perhaps, but we'll have the right attitude as we go through it, number one. And number two, when we get through it, we'll come forth as gold. That's what being conformed to the image of Christ is all about in Romans 8:29. You're being conformed to the image of his son. Confirmation means squeezing you out of you so there's more room for God. That's what the gold is all about. It's having more of God and less of you. That's the golden test. That's one of the side effects of it. A great side effect. I must decrease that he must increase. What an excellent lesson. Now listen, if you're without Christ right now, if you're listening to this, let me ask you, friend, whoever you are, what are you holding on to when adversity strikes your life? What are all the tests you're going through in your life accomplishing for you? What are you gaining by them? And what are you holding on to help you get through them? If you don't have Christ, what are you doing? What are you holding on to? Let me give you the answer. Nothing. You, yourself, a few dollars in the bank, hoping that it's going to get over and not hurt too much more. That's all you got. That's all you have. And you know the sad thing about that? As people who are outside of Christ and suffer, there's no purpose in it except suffering. They gain nothing except suffering. Why? Because they have no faith in anything but themselves. When you know Christ as your Savior and you suffer, you learn, you grow, and you honor God. And in doing that, you bear fruit for God. That gives your life a purpose. Big difference. So that means that, and I'll be the first to admit it, before Christ, when I was lost, Everything I did was a punishment. Why? Because it served no purpose. People without Christ, if you're living without Christ, you're like a little fox. Every day that fox gets up, goes outside, looks for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, tries to stay away from bigger foxes or other animals so that it can live another day. And that's how most of the world functions today, living another day. There's no purpose other than that. As a Christian, as Job, he learned greatness. He learned faith. He learned trust. He learned that if he persevered in his faith, what happens at the end of Job? What did God do? He gave him back twice what he had. And he didn't lose anything. All of his children were in heaven with him, would be in heaven with him when he left. You understand that? You want a purpose in your life, and you're listening to this, and you don't know Christ as your Savior? The only purpose you'll ever have in this life is to know him. And in doing that, know that everything in your life comes to you directly from him, and there's an answer to all of it. And that answer is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's in forgiveness. And I would also have everybody know the fact that the world is in the state it's in because there is no forgiveness at all. Christ offers forgiveness. All you have to do is be sorry for your sins, to repent of your sins, to just simply say, Lord, I used your name in vain. I lied, I stole, I hated somebody, I did any of those things. Whatever offends God, you just simply say, I'm sorry. That's it. I repent of it. I'm sorry. Oh, God in heaven, save me. And the Bible says that anybody who does that, anybody who has a repentant heart, he says in Romans 10:13, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll never turn away anybody who comes to him and asks that he save them. He never will. Now, if you want to do that and you don't know how to do it, see me or call me and I'll show you in his word how easy it is to come to know Christ as your Savior and then live your life for him. That's the second part. Anybody can say, yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in Christ. Yes, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But I like my life too. You can't have that. If you want to know Christ, you have to die daily to yourself and you have to live for him. You know what that means? You go through your day just like you are now, with one exception. No longer is your flesh in charge. This book's in charge. This book tells you how to live your life every day. And if you do it, not only will you have a better day, but you'll have a better eternal day, because eternity is one day that never goes away. And if you don't come to Christ, that one day ends in the lake of fire. Now, you can think it's a metaphor. You can think it isn't true. You can think of whatever you want to think. But if God is real, which he is, and he's sovereign, he says there's a lake of fire for everybody who does not confess Christ as their Savior, who come to him on judgment day holding only their sins. You will go to the lake of fire. If you don't want to do that, call me or see me, and I'll show you in his word how he wants Christ to pay your sin debt so that your life will have more of a purpose than just existing to the next day and the next set of problems. See me. Now, getting back to our text, if you look at the second great truth, it's divine testing. When he has tested me, it says. And I need to be clear about something. James makes it abundantly clear in 1:13 that God does not tempt man. I've heard people say that. You know, God put a temptation in my life. No, he didn't. God wouldn't tempt anybody. And it says in James 1:17, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Turn to James for just a second. I want to just jump there real quick. James chapter 1. And I want to read to you how temptations come about. It isn't by God, it's by man. James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. 13, it's called the anatomy of sin. It's how sin is created. James 13 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. and 12 and 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt himself, tempt anyone himself. Now here it comes. But that means everything I just said, that's one point. Listen to this. But each one is tempted when he, the individual, is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then in 15, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. In other words, when you're tempted, something goes through your mind and it's a sin. You know it's a sin. And it goes through your mind. If you keep that in your head and you don't say, no, get out of here. I don't want you in here, okay? Then now you're being tempted and you're succumbing to the temptation, and that's what makes it a sin. It has nothing to do with God. It has to do with you. You, when you're tempted, are the ones who make the sin, not God. He doesn't tempt you. He tests you, though. He does test you. I wanted to just show you that. He doesn't tempt. He tests. 1 Peter 1:6-7 reveals the fact that God tests people. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. You're going to face it. He tests you, and he tests you to bring things out of you. Let me give you a couple of reasons why God tests his people. Number one, all adversity helps us to exercise our faith. If you didn't have adversity in your life, you wouldn't have to exercise your faith. Growing spiritually helps us to hold on to his promises. You wouldn't care about Romans 8:28 if you weren't facing any adversities. Holding on to his promises helps us to see his power resting on us. Seeing God's power resting on us increases our love for him. Loving God more helps us to be more obedient and holy. It all plays together, and the catalyst for it is adversity. Being more obedient and holy helps us draw nearer to God. And drawing close to God, what? It shows us how much we love him. Do you understand that? God didn't have to do that. Everything in your life, I don't care what it is. I don't care how severe it is. I don't care how minor it is. Everything was put there to help you. Believe it or not. How many times have you heard that? Where somebody says, well, this is going to hurt, but it's going to help you. Nothing is truer than God putting adversity in your life. And sometimes the adversity goes on for years. It goes on for years. And then there comes a point of relief. You see, adversity is the refiner's furnace. That's what the Bible calls it. And it separates evil from the good. We see that in Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what being conformed is, squeezing you out and making more room for him. And lastly, in Acts 14:22, it teaches us, this is an important text, you ought to maybe write this one down. It teaches us, Acts 14:22 teaches us that the tickets to God's kingdom, metaphorically speaking, the tickets to God's kingdom are only given to spiritual war veterans who have faced and overcome tribulations. There's nobody in heaven but veterans. All serve. There's no 4Fers up there. There's no exemptions up there. There's no reserve up there. You're all battle-hard veterans. And that's what adversity is for, to bring out the best in you and the evil out of you. Acts 14:22 says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. You're not getting in there without fighting, without being in conflict. But God is there to help you every step of the way. And the third truth, I'm almost done here, is the final end to the trials in this life. Job ends the verse with, I shall come forth as gold. The first thing to note about that is the text is written in the future tense. In other words, the same applies to you. You persevere in your faith, you overcome adversities, you will come forth as gold in eternity. It's a future thing. Job knew, he absolutely knew there was still more dross in him that needed to come out. How do we know that's true? Because he admits it in Job 42:6. He says, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. A little controversy on that by different commentators, but the bottom line is this. The way he handled his so-called three friends and some of the things that he said, he realized that there was a little bit of pride that had to come out. And I also have you note that Job didn't say, when he has tested me, I may come forth as gold. He didn't say that. And he didn't say, when he has tested me, I hope to come forth as gold. He didn't say that either. With full confidence, absolute full confidence, positive, Job said, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Can you say that? You're a brother and sister in Christ. Can you say that? Is that what you're going to come forth as? Or is there still some dross that needs to come out? I think there's dross in all of us. All of us. The more adversities we have, an adversity is an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to bear fruit and to honor God. It's an opportunity to exercise your faith and your trust. It's an opportunity. There's not one negative thing for a believing Christian in any adversity that you face. How do we know we'll come forth as gold? How did Job know? Simple. The Bible tells us that Philippians 1:6, the promise is being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. All of you here that know Christ as your Savior, he's going to complete that. You will come forth as gold, even if he has to drag you through it, because you belong to him. And Psalm 138:8 backs that up. It says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me, which means God's plans for you will not fail. Whatever he has in your life, going on in your life, is actually for your good, not for anything negative. It's for everything positive. So next week, this coming week, God's going to give you a golden test. And if he does, take it. Take that test. The next time adversity comes knocking on your door next week, take that test with the confidence of Job, because it's for absolute sure you shall come forth as gold. That's the golden test. Let's pray.